This evening, I have decided to speak on the two Gospels of Galatians. I was on the telephone this afternoon with a preacher friend of mine. He mentioned that I was speaking on the two Gospels of Galatians, and he said that where he preached one time for a while when he was a young preacher, there was a man there that thought that there was a gospel to the Jews and a gospel to the Gentiles. An older fellow, and he said he would never forget the man, because at the time that this preacher began to speak, the man would cup his hand around his ear and it would remain right there until he finished speaking. It occurred to me after we hung up the phone, the man might have been hard of hearing, but he obviously didn't listen. The Bible is very clear on the fact that there is one gospel, yet the Galatians letter tells us about two gospels. While that may sound contradictory, we're going to find out exactly what is being said here. Galatians chapter 1 verses 1 through 12 is our text. We're not going to read it at this time, as we are going to refer to it oftentimes throughout the sermon. So Galatians chapter 1 verses 1 through 12 is our text. And our text is a portion of the epistle of Paul to the churches in Galatia. And the Spirit had the Apostle Paul to write these things because of conditions that existed. In fact, the Spirit had him write that he marveled. Verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. This is the idea that frames up this particular sermon, in the fact that he would say that they were called from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. After a cordial greeting from the apostle, the Spirit got right to the heart of the matter that was and is of great concern. There are many subjects that are discussed in the Bible, many which, when investigated, will see that the purpose of discussing these is to instruct the church so that they might follow the one true gospel. But the question that comes to the Galatian brethren through the pen of Paul as the Spirit directed him was, were they going to accept a perverted gospel or the certified gospel? The fact of the matter is, it does matter what you believe. I've had people to tell me before, you know, it really doesn't matter what you believe so long as you believe. Well, you've got to believe something. What it boils down to is, what do you believe and what is found in the Word of God? And if the two are in alignment, you're probably in pretty good shape if you're obeying it. But if what you believe is something contrary to what's in the Bible, then you're just doing as the Galatians were, at times being presented with a perverted gospel. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, we see that it does state that it does make a difference what one believes. And also it gives us a warning here to ensure that we follow the right way. One of the worst things that a person has ever said to me in framing their argument for something was, my preacher said. It's obvious from what they were saying that they heard what their preacher said, but Mark 4:24 says, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Take heed what you hear. We are to be very careful of what we hear. And when we hear something that is not according to the Bible, we need to address it. And so in this lesson, we'll consider the two Gospels presented in Galatians. I first want to present the perverted Gospel. I'm not going to teach anything contrary to what the law of God has given to us, but I'm going to identify this perverted gospel. The word pervert means to turn aside, to cause division or deviation, from the right, the true, or the regular course, to lead astray or to corrupt. And many people have led people astray from the pulpit. Many people want to rely upon what the preacher says. Our text declares that there would be some that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Some would change it. Some would alter it. Some would cause deviation from the right, the true, and the regular cause. We need to notice what the perverted gospel was, and it had to do with a number of things. It had to do with some trying to get the Gentiles to live under the law that previously ruled the Jews. At the time that this letter was written, there were those of the Jewish nation traveling about, some of whom had partially accepted the truth of the gospel, but wanted to incorporate some things under the old law. When that happens, you've added to the gospel of Christ, and in so doing have perverted it. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, we'll see this. We'll see that they brought in false brethren, and in bringing these false brethren in, they allowed them to teach. Or they allowed them to plant seeds of doubt. And when that happens, look out, there's going to be problems. Galatians 2, verses 4 through 6, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. What the Apostle Paul is saying here is when these people came in, they came in so that they might bring us into bondage or back under the old law, back bound by something which never was designed for nor never could provide salvation. Notice also from verse 5, they didn't give them liberty. They didn't give them subjection, no, not for an hour. And the reason is so that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. When someone teaches and preaches a false doctrine, we are well within our rights to approach that person and say, wait a minute, that's not going to be taught here. And there's a civil way of doing it. But notice also, God accepteth no man's person. It doesn't matter how many letters you have after your name. It doesn't matter where you went to school. It doesn't matter what kind of education you have. When it comes to teaching and preaching the Word of God, it matters that you teach what is in the Word of God. It also had to do with justification by the law. Also in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, we'll see the statement given to the Galatians brethren so that they would know, they would fully understand that the law did not justify. Specifically, he said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. There was a reason for the law. There was a purpose for the law. It had fulfilled its purpose, had been nailed to the cross, and was no longer to be followed. It also, this perverted gospel, had to do with the observance of days, as we see in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 10. I don't know of a people that couldn't be accused of observing days of some in some fashion. We all observe certain holidays, and I'm not talking about the big holidays, but we all observe a special day, birthdays. But what these people were doing, they were observing special days that were days listed under the law, days that were set aside specifically for the Jewish nation as a memorial before God throughout their generations. But understand this, that when the law of Moses was put away and the law of Christ was established, those generations ceased. That's why we're told there's no Jew or Gentile under this new law. But he said in Galatians 4:10, ye observe days and months and times and years. They wanted to get those people to continue to observe those days, the feast days, the things under the law. This perverted gospel, this perverted doctrine, would constrain some to be circumcised. We see this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 12, and know this, that under the old law, circumcision was a sign of the covenant between the Jew and Christ. Most of the folks of the Galatians congregation were Gentiles. And this covenant sign that was once given was done away with the covenant. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. These things were not what the Lord had given to Paul to teach there. It was not the things that the Galatian brethren should be following. These verses point out that this perverted gospel was an effort on the part of some to bind the Old Testament law on Christians. And I want you to notice the results of following a perverted gospel. That's as true that day as it is right now. If one follows the perverted gospel, it removes them from God, and it removes them from the grace of Christ. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. As we have already pointed out, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. This perverted gospel, when you follow something else, you're not following the true gospel. You're not following that which Christ has authorized. Oftentimes, in doing things from a religious standpoint, specifically prayer, people will say, well, we're praying in Jesus' name, having no idea whatsoever what that means. It means more than to evoke the name of Jesus. It means to do so on his authority, according to his law and according to his will. Those who follow this perverted gospel are removed from the grace of Christ. Do you know that one who follows a perverted gospel is cursed? In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we see two passages which say the same thing, and they say it twice. I've often said this, and I think it's very important to note this. When God says it one time, that's enough. It's been said. It is law. It is properly applied, and it should be. But when he says it twice, it is therefore a warning so that we do not miss it. Notice what he said. But though we, the apostles, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That should settle it. But then he repeats it again in verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. The reason is because a perverted gospel causes people to be cursed. And if you're following a perverted gospel, that's what will happen. And great will be the fall thereof. A perverted gospel hinders one from serving Christ. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10 tells us that we are to be servants of Christ. We are to be serving Christ. We're not to please men. You stop and look at under the old law, there were some of those who were leaders of the Jews who believed in Jesus, but they would not obey him because they were afraid of being cast out of the synagogue and of the temple. But perverted gospels hinders one from serving Christ. He said, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? There are folks who would rather please men, let's say the preacher hiring committee, or maybe the elders. If you've got good, sound elders, and the preacher's preaching the truth, he should never have to worry about his job. If the preacher is preaching the truth and he's worried about his job, he ought not to be there in the first place. But it hinders one, whether they're a preacher, whether they're an elder, whether they're just a member of the body of Christ. If you follow a perverted gospel, you can't do that and please Christ. And therefore, it brings one into bondage. Those in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4 were brought into bondage under the law if they went back and followed it. But it brings us into the bondage of sin. These brethren that were brought in, they came in to spy out the liberty which they have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage bind us up, prevent us from doing what God would have us do. It also hinders the truth. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, we see there that at one time they did run well. In other words, they were using the truth properly, going out, teaching their neighbor, communicating the gospel to other people, reaching out to those lost souls that were around them. And then someone comes in and inserts this perverted gospel, and he asks the question. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? It's because of the perverted gospel inserted in there. In fact, if one follows the perverted gospel such as is found in the book of Galatians, it makes the death of Christ on the cross vain. You know, if you can believe anything you want to, it really doesn't matter if Jesus died. But the truth of the matter is that he did die. He gave himself upon the cross. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The real reason for Christ to come is to put away that old law, to establish the second, to purchase the church, to provide this gospel, the true gospel. Perverted gospels bewitch folks and hinder them in obedience to the truth. You know, I've had the hardest time with some folks getting them to believe everything that the Bible says about salvation and what one must do to be saved. You know, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done that. And you know what? So-and-so over here said I didn't have to do this other thing. I didn't have to get in the water. I didn't have to be baptized. Well, the like figure wherein through baptism doth also now save us. Makes it pretty clear to me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Makes it pretty clear. Anything separate and apart from that is a perverted gospel. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. It's important for them to realize and understand the one true gospel had been presented to them. When one follows a perverted gospel, it returns them to the weak and beggarly elements of the Old Testament law. Now, I'm not talking bad about God's plan and how he had it set forth. In fact, the Bible itself calls it the weak and beggarly elements. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9. Those things were not designed to bring man into salvation. It was designed to bring salvation unto man. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? Whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Is that what we want, to be bound? We want to be free from sin. Not bound, not in bondage. It does entangle one with a yoke of bondage. Again, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Those brethren were encouraged to stand fast. But stand fast where? In the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Remember, under the old law, Christ had not come. He had not shed his blood. Salvation was not available. And if you go back under that old law, there is no salvation from sin. Stand fast. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It also causes one to fall from grace. That's a big question in the religious world today. There are those who will say, no, you cannot fall from grace. Well, the Bible says you can. The Bible says some had, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. In fact, it even says that Christ is made of none effect to those who hold to and endorse and follow a perverted gospel. It says Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. How could they be fallen from grace if it was an impossibility to do so? It's because it hindered them from being able to run well. As we've already seen in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, ye did run well. At one time you were running well. You were operating according to that which the law said. the New Testament law. You are operating according to the certified gospel, which we will talk about in just a minute. And the question is asked, who did hinder you? Who did hinder you? Sometimes we get in our own way. Sometimes we hinder ourselves by listening to other people and not going to the Bible for ourselves and studying and learning. Why would anyone want a gospel that was and is so detrimental? It's amazing to me that so many people follow perverted gospel. And such is the nature of any perverted gospel. It won't please God. It only pleases man. It makes man happy. Oh, they got their big fine buildings and it's busting at the seams sometimes. They got all their programs. But who are they pleasing? If they're not pleasing God, it's doing no good. Galatians 1 and 10. So let's look at the certified gospel to draw the comparison between the two. The certified gospel means that which is assured, that which is guaranteed, that which is approved. And the certified gospel is the only one that was preached by the Apostle Paul. It's the only one that was given by the Spirit to the apostles and to others who were given to preach it. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 12 points this out for us. As the apostle penned these words to the Galatian brethren, he stated, as a matter of fact, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." The Lord gave him revelation into this gospel, this one gospel which he preached. Any change, any perversion, any alteration of it by man is absolutely forbidden. Again, we go back to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, when he stated that he was marveled that they were so soon removed. Those who had embraced a perverted gospel had released themselves or let go of the certified gospel. "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Again, we've already seen that though we are an angel from heaven preaching the other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. It's important for us to realize and understand that alteration of the gospel is forbidden by God. That's why Paul was set for his defense, and we ought to be set for the defense of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 17. Oftentimes, we need to realize and understand that we must know the gospel before we can defend it. Jude tells us that we're to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. But we must know it. How are we going to defend something that we do not know? How are we going to know something if we do not study it? Or if we've not been taught it? Paul says, and there in Philippians 1:17, "But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel," and we must defend it. Because this certified gospel, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, is God's power to save. I've had people to ask me, "Why doesn't God save my husband? Why doesn't God save my wife?" God has sent that which can save them. They must be obedient to the certified gospel. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," that gospel, that certified gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's also important to understand that this is taught in other places. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 also tells us that it's this same gospel which was preached, which they received, wherein they stood, and by which also they are saved. It didn't say, "by which you will be saved." "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved." Here's the key. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." It's important that once we hear this certified gospel and are obedient to it, we must continue in it. James chapter 1, verse 21. We're told, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I can submit to you this evening that you could attend every church service available where the body of Christ meets. You can listen intently and you can hear the word of God, and if you do not obey it, you'll be lost. You will have wasted your time. We are to be doers of the word, not hearers only. It'll also build us up and give us inheritance among the sanctified, according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And we all want to be built up, don't we? We all want to be encouraged. And that word is able to. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And we need to understand also that it will not build us up unless we stay in it, unless we read it, unless we study it. It will not give us an inheritance unless we are obedient to it. But know this, that when the judgment time comes, we're not going to be judged by all the perverted gospels in the world today. We're going to be judged by that one certified gospel. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. Again, as the Apostle Paul writes, is given direction by the Spirit, he's writing to these Roman brethren, and he told them that they would be judged by Jesus Christ. But notice, by what they will be judged. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. This same gospel of which Paul had written to the Galatian brethren. That's because that gospel provides hope, and only that gospel provides hope. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, we see a portion of a letter written to another congregation that speaks of the hope of the gospel. This hope that is told us in the gospel, and if we follow it, we can have that hope. He says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul did not let an opportunity go by to preach the gospel. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be locked in chains in a dark, moldy prison? And most people spend their time in a situation such as that looking at the downside of their situation. I'd say that Paul looked to his right and to his left, in front of him and maybe behind him, and maybe Barnabas was strapped in there beside him. Maybe Silas. He didn't need to preach to them. But it didn't take him long to look around and see somebody else and say, hey, let me tell you about the gospel. And the gospel that he preached was the gospel that gave hope. The reason that it brings hope is because it brings life and immortality. If somebody were to ask you the question, do you want to live forever? What would you say? Yeah. That'd be great. Now, we all understand that we're all going to die. It is appointed that the man wants to die, then after this the judgment. But do you want to live forever? Yes, I would. And that's what the gospel provides. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10 tells us that it brings life and it brings immortality. And immortality will not be realized in this body. Now, some of you live more years than me and some less. Some have more pain than me and some less. But in these bodies we have pain. That's because our bodies are breaking down. We're all getting older, and some of us look older faster than others. I guess I fall into that category. But know that our bodies are slowly decaying. And one day we will no longer be in these bodies. But we will have made the choice, according to the gospel, whether or not we want to have immortality or not. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. Notice how, through the gospel. Now, every soul is going to exist forever, but not all will live forever. That's why the gospel, the certified gospel, is a real treasure. We should embrace it. We should love it. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Do you know that's why he gave himself so fervently in the service of God? Because not only did he love God, not only did he love Jesus Christ, but he loved the word that the Lord sent, that the Spirit gave him to write to others. It is a real treasure. Everyone should want a gospel with certified blessings. I want you to do something. I want you to look at yourself, examine yourself, and ask yourself, am I following the certified gospel? Or am I following a perverted gospel? And know that if you cannot find that which you're following, and prove it without a doubt from the Word of God, you're not following that certified gospel. Obey that true gospel today. Some might even ask the question, well, what must I do to be saved? Or how can I obey that gospel? The gospel plan of God is relatively simple. But unfortunately, so many people have difficulty in following it, in applying it to their lives. And I won't sugarcoat it. It does take sacrifice. But look at the blessing. The Bible teaches for one to be saved, they must hear the word of God. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We're also to believe. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Having heard and believed, a person should be willing and ready to repent. That's turn away from sin. Turn away from that old life. Turn toward God. In fact, it is a commandment of God, according to Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, where we're told that in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And then we're to confess. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But in Matthew 10:33, he said, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny, but before my Father which is in heaven. And according to that true, that certified gospel, those who do not obey that gospel have denied the Christ. We are also to be baptized. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, or by the authority of the Lord. The reason they were to be baptized is the same reason that Saul was baptized. When Ananias said to him, after he had been praying there for 3 days, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord. And then following this, we are to remain faithful until death. We may think, you know, that's a long time. How long do you think eternity is? Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. The church there was told, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Perhaps you're here, you've done these things, you've become a child of God, and for whatever reason, you've allowed sin to come into your life. Know that God still loves you. And according to that certified gospel, he's provided the means whereby you can find forgiveness. It's found in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, and it reads, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. I want you to take your songbooks now. I want you to open them to the invitation song. And I want you to focus and ask yourself, which gospel am I following? We want you to respond to the true gospel as together we stand and while we sing.